May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. On Easter morning and for some weeks following, we begin our worship with the words, Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. This is the heart of the Easter message. God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And this good news has to be bracketed with repeated cries of Alleluia, grateful praise to the God who has done this. Easter message is good news for us and for all people. And I'll come back to that soon. But it is first of all good news, a proclamation about Jesus and his story. Today's second reading from the Acts of the Apostles is a short summary of the story of Jesus. Peter here describes the ministry of Jesus leading up to his death and resurrection, and then the command to the disciples to proclaim that the risen Jesus will be the judge of all people and that those who believe in him receive forgiveness for their sins. Peter also speaks of how Jesus lived, his impact on those who encountered him. Jesus, Peter says, went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So what was not to like about Jesus, this man sent by God who came preaching peace to all, the embodiment of God's truth and love present and active in the world? But many did not like what God gave the world in Jesus. He was rejected by many among his own people and brutally executed in public by an occupying imperial power. He was dead. He was buried. But God raised Jesus to life. And in this way, God vindicated him. God upheld all that Jesus had said and done, all that Jesus had been, by raising him to life from the dead. The cross was the world's no to Jesus, but by raising him to life, God spoke in response his great yes. On another occasion, Peter tells those who had called for Jesus' death, "You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead." To the world's no to Jesus in the cross, God speaks his yes by raising Jesus from the dead. So Easter is first of all about Jesus. But Easter isn't just about Jesus. It's also about us, about each one of us, because the resurrection of Jesus wasn't just the triumphant, happy ending of his own individual story. The cross and resurrection of Jesus have much wider significance than that because of who Jesus is, because of his utterly unique identity as both fully human, fully one of us, but also fully divine, eternally one with God. Because of who Jesus is, Son of God and Son of Man, he is able, through his living, his dying, and his rising again, to embrace us all, to gather us up, to share in his story and in his life, to share in his glory. He died and rose again for us, for you, for me, to give us life in all its fullness. This fullness of life begins for us even now in this life, where we can begin already to walk in newness of life. But we will only know it in all its fullness in the life that is to come, when we shall see him as he is and will finally become like him. This is what St. Paul is talking about in today's first reading from First Letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15. By the way, Easter isn't just one day, it's a season. It's several weeks stretching ahead from now. And a great spiritual exercise in these days of Easter would be to set aside some time to reflect carefully on this whole long chapter, which is the longest discussion in the whole New Testament of the resurrection of Jesus and what it means for us. Let me mention just a couple of points that Paul makes here. At the very beginning of this chapter, before today's reading, Paul reminds the Christians at Corinth of the basics of the faith that he taught them. He very matter-of-factly states that Jesus died, was buried, was raised on the third day, and then appeared on several occasions to many different people, most of whom, he says almost in passing, are still alive. It's as if he's saying, you can go and consult them if you want. He's writing probably 20 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. So he's speaking about a relatively recent event. It's the equivalent of something which for us happened in 2005, not so long ago for most of us. Something witnessed by many people who at that time were still alive. So at the heart of our faith, at the center of the creed we say every Sunday, is a claim about something that happened, an event in history. The man Jesus of Nazareth was executed, he was dead and buried, but he was raised to life again and seen by many witnesses. So Paul starts by reminding the Christians at Corinth about the death and resurrection of Jesus as events that happened in recent history. But he doesn't stop there. Paul isn't in the business just of providing historical information, important though that is, but of telling us that this information is good news from God with huge implications for us. So going on in today's reading, Paul writes, as in Adam all die, so in Christ all, everyone, will be made alive. Paul is here comparing two different human realities. Life in Adam and life in Christ. Now, the name Adam simply means humankind. It means all of us. And life in Adam means our life as human beings who, like Adam, right at the beginning of the book of Genesis, all turn away from God. Being in Adam is just where we are. It's our raw human condition or identity, our natural state of rebellion against God. And living in Adam is a story that ends in death. In Adam, Paul says, we all die. But God holds out the alternative to us of life in Christ. This is the life offered by God to us all through Jesus Christ and his coming among us, his dying and his rising again for us. This life in Christ is God's gift to us, and it's a gift that calls for our response, the response of faith in Jesus Christ and obedience to him. Life in Christ is a new kind of living, even here and now in this life, but it also means life beyond this life, beyond death, eternal life in Christ with God. And let me say it again, this is possible because of who Jesus was and is, his utterly unique human and divine identity, which means he can embrace us, gather us up, and share with us his risen life. The resurrection of Jesus was not some kind of isolated freak episode that happened to an otherwise unremarkable person. If that's all it was, it wouldn't very obviously be good news for the rest of us. It would be weird, but it would leave the rest of us unaffected. But the resurrection of Jesus is not like that. It is good news for all people precisely because of who Jesus was and is, because of God's presence and action in him. His resurrection is good news because of what it achieves and makes possible for all people. In Christ, all will be made alive. Now, so far, you may have noticed we've been listening to the scriptures. But of course, we live in a world today where what I've been talking about probably seems very remote and unreal. Many may resonate more naturally today with, for example, John Lennon telling us to imagine there's no heaven. Or here are some comments from the philosopher Bertrand Russell writing shortly before his death. Not a very Easter morning kind of sentiment, but Russell wrote, there is darkness without, and when I die, there will be darkness within. There is no splendor, no vastness anywhere, only triviality for a moment, and then nothing. Well, surely that's what rational modern people have to accept. When you're dead, you're dead. Now, how should Christians respond to that kind of outlook, which of course lays an axe at the very root of the Christian faith that Jesus rose from the dead and that there can be a possibility of life beyond death for us? Well, we'll come back to the resurrection of Jesus soon, But just leaving the resurrection of Jesus to one side for a moment, thinking more widely, there is much in human experience across many traditions and cultures that pushes back against the kind of idea that I just quoted from Bertrand Russell, that there is nothing beyond this life. The Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes says that God has set eternity in our hearts. Eternity in our hearts. I suspect those words ring bells for most people, even if they don't believe in God, because there is a sense of eternity in us all. Poignant words of Bertrand Russell I quoted suggest to me that he actually had a keen sense of the eternal and a longing for it. He says that this life is only triviality for a moment and then nothing. Does not something in him wish and half believe that there must be something more? In Westminster Abbey in London, there's a memorial to the poet Gerard Manley Hopkins, and it contains two words from one of his poems, immortal diamond, immortal diamond. Hopkins was a Christian, but those words express a perception that is present far beyond the Christian faith, the perception that in each of us there is something of great and eternal value. Now, this may to some people sound like a pathetically self-important worldview in which the universe revolves around little old me. I'm so precious. I'm an immortal diamond. But that's not what Hopkins was saying, and it's not what I mean here. This is about the realization of how God has made us with eternity in our hearts. It's actually humbling, though also uplifting and wonderful, to recognize that there is in us all something of eternal significance that doesn't just end when our bodies pack up. This thought makes life look very different and much more mysterious. It makes most of our preoccupations appear very trivial, and it leads us to believe that whatever skeptics may say, there is something beyond this life. Of course, we can ignore that most of the time, but we can only do so, I suggest, by silencing our deepest instincts. God has indeed set eternity in the hearts of all people. So coming back to the message of Easter, the message that Jesus died and rose again, this tells us something that may well resonate with thoughts that are already in our hearts and minds. Yes, the message that a man has risen from the dead goes far beyond anything we can normally expect or imagine. But this message does connect with an intuition, an idea deep within us, a longing that I believe is there embedded in all people. The resurrection of Jesus tells us that we are right to sense that within us and within all people there is something of great value that surely does not just disappear forever when my heart stops beating and this life ends. So this widespread human intuition that there is something beyond this life is valid. But in the end, it doesn't actually take us very far, and it offers very little by way of faith and hope to shape and inspire us in our living. And the risen Jesus says so much more to us than that. The world of human speculation about what may or may not happen after death is in many ways a confusing, shadowy world. For some, it's even a world of charlatan profiteering through claims to communicate with the spirits of the departed. In case you're ever tempted, please don't go there. Such activities have nothing to do with the Easter message of the risen Jesus and his victory over death. Into this shadowy, doubtful world of human speculation where fear still binds many, the risen Jesus shines like the sun in a cloudless sky. The scriptures say, "Awake, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high has broken upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace." St. Paul says that if Christ did not rise from the dead, our faith is in vain. But if he did, then so much follows. Jesus Christ alone has died and triumphed over death. The remarkable words we said at the beginning of the gospel, he is the only human being ever who could say, "I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." He is alive forever, never to die again. He is risen not just for his own sake, but for us too, to take us with him where he has gone before. His resurrection is our hope. When God raised Jesus from the dead, he was opening up life beyond death for all who would receive it. Now, this is a serious matter. And I mentioned earlier that Peter says that the risen Jesus will be the judge of all people. That's a sobering thought. The judge of all. The ultimate reality and authority with which we must all reckon is the Lord Jesus Christ. But he is the judge who is also our Savior, the one who has suffered and died in our place and has risen to give us eternal life. What kind of a judge is that? A judge to whom we can look with both awe and confidence, a judge who is also our Redeemer. We can entrust ourselves to him both for this life and for the life to come. A closing thought. On this Easter morning, consider two ways of looking at ourselves and our lives. Most of us sitting here this morning were probably here in this same church last Easter. Well, a year has passed. Certainly speaking for myself, I can tell I'm not getting any younger. None of us, old or young, can assume we will see another Easter. We are a year nearer death. There's no arguing with that. But in the light of the risen Christ, our lives at the same time look quite different. St. Paul writes, "Salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed." We are all, old or young, on the way to death. But if our faith and hope are in the Lord Jesus Christ, then compared with last Easter, we are a year nearer to salvation, to life in all its fullness. In Adam, all die. In Christ, all will be made alive. Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again, so that we might always be with him in this life and in the life to come. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.